listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
We welcome you back live this afternoon at Jets Pizza in Farragut. Thing I love about this place is, like, for the longest time, I didn't know what it was all about. Like, there's another Jets over, I think there was, I don't know if it was still there, over, like, near the Gallery Shopping Center. And that's just, like, one of those, like, you just go in, there's really not, I think they've got, like, two tables, but you don't really eat inside.
Right.
And so I just had assumed that this was kind of the same. But it's not. Mm-mm. You've got, like, we're set up in the bar. We got a full-on bar here. Cody McClure is holding court. We got all the Yeehaw beers on tap. Looks like we've got some Shinerbach there, a couple of some Blackstone stuff, your Budweiser, your Miller Lite, things like that, and maybe some Shock Top. So you got a full, on all the liquors up there, mixed drinks.
Oh, toppest of the top shelf up there at the top. I see some stuff I used to
enjoy.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by TVs. This is a great place to watch games. And then on the other side, there's like a big wall. And then, like, the other side is a completely different situation. We've got, I was just over there using the restroom. There's a couple of families over there.
All kinds of Tennessee memorabilia up on the walls, just like your friendly neighborhood pizza place.
Yeah, like young kids hanging out. So you've got kind of the best of both worlds at here. And we're right here on Kingston Pike next to the Shrimp Dock, which is next to National RX, which is next to Wendy's, which is right across the street from Farragut High School. I mean, you can't miss it.
Speaking of, I was just outside.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it now. I'm tingly.
What's that?
The Farragut High School band. The drum. Yeah.
You love that, man? The crack of the drum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They got the drum lines going.
That's awesome. I remember the first football game I took my daughter to when she was like 3 or 4. And I took her to a West, like West was playing Austin East or something. We went over there first week of school. And we're sitting there waiting in line to buy tickets. And all of a sudden, I hear crack, crack, crack. The band is firing up and they're marching in. And I'm like early 30s or whatever the time. I'm a grown man. And I've got my little, my daughter's like 3 or 4, and she's standing there. And I just forget that she's even there, man. I'm just, something about a marching band, I'm just entranced. As they're marching by, I am just like, you know.
I love it when they start rolling on the drums.
And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, yeah, we're in line. Like, the line had moved 10 feet ahead. I'm not even paying attention. Guys are like behind me like, come on, move it, dude. And, I love the marching band. Love the marching band. But come on out, see us, Jets Pizza. This is a bus remote. We've got, so you got about 50 minutes. We're going to be drawing the winner here about 50 minutes, about 5:55. We're going to reach in there and pick out a winner. Somebody's going to win 2 seats on the bus to Charlotte for the West Virginia game. And also going to get a $50 gift card to Alumni Hall. And you'll be registered for the grand prize of season tickets to Tennessee football and a $300 Alumni Hall shopping spree. So come on out and see us. Again, happy hour going on till 7. We got pizza. We got sandwiches. We got salads. We got wings. It is phenomenal. Jets Pizza in Farragut. Dan Harrelson covers the Vols for VolsWire.com. He joins us now on the show. Hello, Dan. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty well. It's getting pretty close to game week, so it's going to be here before you know it.
Yeah, no, man. It's like, you know, when you're a kid and you're counting down the days to Christmas, remember how long, like, the month of December took to get there? You saw the presents under the trees and everything. The month of August is like adult Christmas for college football fans in the South. Just waiting. And then once it gets here, the season flies by. But here we are, practice number 10 for Tennessee. Just wrapping up moments ago. No huge news coming so far based off what I've seen on the Twitter sphere coming out of practice today. But, Dan, what are your thoughts on the narrative this week that the quarterback race that everybody had all but called for Jarrett Guarantano last week is suddenly back on, and that Keller Christ is showing he's not going down without a fight?
Ron, I guess one angle from today with Trey Smith getting a little bit of work at left guard there, I think that kind of ties into the quarterback situation a little bit, especially for the first game against West Virginia, just because West Virginia runs that 3-3-5 defense. And I think Tennessee is going to take that game with an approach of pounding the ball, especially with all these running backs, and especially with Princeton Fant kind of moving back today to the tight end position. I think they feel more comfortable with him there to give a little bit more depth also at that tight end position, just because there's a huge stable of backs to work with in this first game. And I think with the quarterback situation and having a strong running presence against West Virginia, just take care of the football. And we keep hearing Jeremy Pruitt say that. And that kind of tends to make me think that Keller Chris may get the nod first to go out there for the first game. And it does go against the narrative that you see a Tony Barnhart and Gary Danielson, someone I had on my podcast, talk about Jarrett Guarantano, this and that. And whenever you see national guys kind of throw stuff out there like that, maybe there's a spin to it where they don't want to see a guy transfer out, especially like a Guarantano type, before you get to the actual start of the season.
Well, it also makes sense from the standpoint of Christ. You know, Guarantano's been here for a couple of years. He had the benefit of going through spring practice. He didn't really have anybody pushing him that hard. I don't think Will McBride was pushing him that hard in spring practice. And so he's had a huge head start on Keller Christ. It would stand to reason, Dan, that he might need Christ a week or two to kind of get his feet under him, get his bearings, learn the new terminology, get used to his surroundings, you know, his new place to live, all that stuff. We shouldn't probably expect him to just walk in day one and immediately be the guy.
Right, and we've also heard Jeremy Pruitt speak highly of JT Shrout. I mean, this is a situation, especially this year, where you can go out there and put him through four games. I think that's going to be beneficial for him. This could be a season where you just roll out Keller Chris for 1 year, knowing you have a guy like Shrout behind him who can also gain experience this year, and then a Brian Maurer who's a lot like JT Shrout in this upcoming recruiting class. So maybe they have a plan with that. To go with Chris for this year, try to get to a bowl game, win the bowl game, and just go from there. So I think they basically have a plan in place for all this. And it's just kind of funny that a couple of media guys from the national level that will throw that out there like that, it just makes you wonder if there's a spin to it to keep somebody from transferring.
Hey, Dan, I've heard rumors around town that the Shrout kid has the best arm out of all the quarterbacks over there. Have you seen him throw yet?
Right. I saw him, like a lot of people, that Sunday open practice last Sunday. Looks good. I mean, I've kind of compared his taste a little bit to Brian Maurer, like I mentioned. That's what Tyson Helton likes. He likes guys that can extend the field with the vertical ball. And I think these two guys are actually going to fit pretty well in his system. And I just think going back to Keller Chris, there may be just a little bit too much emphasis on him not having a stronger arm than Guarantano, because he can run J just as well as Garantano to pick up those first downs or even yardage when you're not seeing down the field right or a busted play or whatnot. But I just think there's just too much negativity towards not being as strong in the arm for Keller Chris, and I just don't think it makes that much sense.
Dan Harrelson joining us here this afternoon on The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville. So you mentioned, you know, we're talking about this West Virginia game. And if Tennessee wins that, the entire complexion, I think, of the season changes, from, you know, whether they win or lose. But you mentioned you think Tennessee's going to come out trying big boy West Virginia a little bit, line up and push them around and bully them and run the ball, control the clock and everything like that. What are your thoughts on this West Virginia matchup? Do you think that would be a successful strategy? Do you think this is a game Tennessee can win? Vols right now still about a 9.5-point underdog to the Mountaineers.
Right, and I think SEC Mike tweeted out today that the over-under for the game is at 60 points right now. A lot of people have mentioned go ahead and take the over in that, but I would tend to think take the under. I think it could be a 31-27 type game. West Virginia, they're still going to make a few big plays. They're still going to do a little bit there. But I really do think, like you mentioned, just control the clock, pound the rock, make a few plays here and there for Tennessee on offense. I just think with Pruitt's defensive philosophy, with these outside backers, with Daryl Taylor and a Congbo, they're going to live and die by those guys. And I think if they can make any kind of presence in that first game, they're going to make West Virginia a little bit uncomfortable, and it kind of reminds me of Kirby Smart's first game when Georgia played the high-powered offense against North Carolina. I think they can squeeze out a win there. I like a 31-27 type game. The question is, of course, we still have a little bit of time until the game actually kicks off, but still got to determine who's going to win the game, but I think Tennessee's making all the right strides there to at least compete in it and make it close and cover it.
Dan, the man, Harrelson with us here this afternoon on The Drive. Dan, we had a conversation going on, a debate question this afternoon. I don't know if you saw Dave Hart got his deal, his consulting contract agreement, whatever, extended at East Carolina for a couple of months, and that spurred a debate here on the show of who the worst AD was. It you have Mike Hamilton, Dave Hart, and John Curry. It was kind of a boy. It's hard to believe that Tennessee had three guys that, you know, were just so inept, seemingly, at their jobs, back to back to back like that. What's your take on that? Who was the worst of that trio?
I would probably have to give it to Mike Hamilton just because he played politics. He was not afraid to play politics either on radio or TV out in the public about Phil Fulmer's job security. And to me, he just made one mistake after one mistake, and he created a narrative out there that maybe Fulmer wasn't the guy when Urban Meyer arrived at Florida and LSU and Alabama eventually got good again. And with John Curry, obviously that blew up in his face, but he was definitely controlled by the Haslams behind the scenes. So it really wasn't all on him. It was just a collective group situation there. And it, like I said, it blew up in his face. And with the revolt happening, that it was more towards the Haslam group, but I definitely think Mike Hamilton was the worst by far. And I guess you could say out of that trio, Dave Hart comes out shining the brightest.
Well, I voted for Curry, but I did concur with your last part there. I think Dave Hart probably the lesser of three evils, certainly, in that equation. All right, Dan, before we let you run here this afternoon, anything else you want to add that you've heard that you think our audience might find interesting about fall camp so far for the Vols and anything that you've learned through your resources?
Ron, I think it just goes back to some of these position battles that I mentioned, especially with Trey Smith today getting some guard look. I think he's going to be very, very beneficial with the run blocking game for this offense, especially that first game. And Drew Richmond, I think he's just a tackle. I don't know if he can play another position. I think they're going to cater to that. So it'd be kind of interesting to see how that transpires in the next week and a half, if they can find the five guys that they want, especially at right guard. Is Ryan Johnson going to fill that void? Can Jerome Carvin step up and make a spot there? So I think just getting the five guys in line on the offensive line next week and a half, I think that's the most important thing to keep an eye on.
All right, good stuff. Dan, always appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on this afternoon. Have a good one.
All right, you guys do the same.
That's Dan Harrelson. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dan Harrelson. That's Dan, H-A-R-R-A-L-S-O-N. And the website is VolsWire.com. Bear, did you learn anything? Dan Harrelson's appearance on the show this afternoon.
The quarterback position is totally up for grabs right now.
What do you make of, this is something we haven't mentioned today, that I don't think is very important, but is very interesting. Keller Crist named to the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award watch list. And I don't think Garantano's on that list.
Well, no. And there's no guarantees that Crist is going to even be the starter.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
You know, one of the things we talk about, the things we love about the preseason and the countdown and the build-up anticipation, all that stuff. One of the things I hate are all the watch lists. Like, I just think that's the dumbest.
I mean, hell, everybody in the country's on it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Garantano's
I am.
On it.
Yeah, really.
But Butch loved it when the watch list guys came out, didn't he?
Congratulations.
Horse crap and hot
Khalil
sauce.
Khalil McKenzie on the Outland Trophy watch list. We had 17 players this year on trophy watch lists. It's a very critical thing for our program to have all these individuals honored before the season even begins.
It's critical.
I am so happy we don't have to listen to him anymore.
Wow. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. We're going to take a quick break. We'll hit the reset button for those of you just joining us. That hot question has been, that was a fun one to kick around. We'll stir that up again when we continue next on The Drive.
The Drive. Listening to The Drive. Get some.
Knoxville, The Drive, live this afternoon. Jets Pizza in Farragut, where we are. Open up the phone lines to you. The McKinney team hotline wide open. You want to take a shot, jump in now. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. If you want to jump in here, Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question today. Who was Tennessee's worst athletics director? Who was the worst of the three? Mike Hamilton, Dave Hart, the Hitman, or John Curry? The fan base pretty resounding in this one. 63% say John Curry, 22% say Mike Hamilton, 15% going with Dave Hart. So that the end of that is tightened up, but over 6 and 10 Vol fans, that reduces to two-thirds, Bear, say.
I mean,
yeah.
I guess the Shiano deal cannot be topped.
Yeah. No, I mean,
really it can't.
Read some of these responses here. Michael says, anyone that says Curry must be too young to remember how Hamilton decimated the entire athletics department.
Well, he's got a good point. That's what I was thinking when I suggested it.
Dwayne says, Hart hired Butch. Curry walked into a mess and messes it up more.
It'd be like sending me and you to like a nuclear plant that was getting ready to melt down.
Yeah.
Having John Curry as our athletic director. We aren't getting we aren't scramming the pile. That thing's going full China syndrome with me and you. Having to do it. Much the same way with John Curry as our athletic director.
No Camo Alpha says, you have to at least respect that Curry realized he had screwed it all up and went rogue at the last minute and tried to hire Mike Leach on his own. Hart was terrible for longer. I don't really respect that about Curry.
What?
I mean, the fact that it would get to that point. Like,
what they respect?
That he realized he was up against the wall and went rogue and tried to hire Mike Leach. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess at that point he's in CYA, just pure survival mode. But the fact that it ever got there is beyond embarrassing.
It's insane.
By the way, if you're tuning in for what you're talking about right now, no Champions League action today since we're on remote. Round two of Champions League action will be in studio tomorrow about this time.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, to tell you the truth.
How's that?
Who have we not seen today unless he was here and gone?
Yeah, Westchester. He is the new alternate. I mean, I've got his number. Brent, Trevor, and Douglas will vie for a spot in Champions League tomorrow.
Trevor made an appearance earlier on the phone. Did mm-hmm. Douglas come by?
I don't know about Douglas. I know Brent, he called yesterday wanting to get in, so he's really fired up about this. I think Brent, Trevor, and Douglas kind of the X factor, I think, for tomorrow's round.
Who won yesterday?
Chase. Or is it Fuller? No, Chase. Fuller's the one I kind of screwed over.
Yeah, you do that every year, yeah. Somebody.
Jamie, Debo, and KJ will go on Friday.
It's Battle of the Titans Thursday.
Thursday.
Friday we're on the
I don't know,
National
man.
RX. You confused?
Well, on the Tuesday, I'm already fried, man. That's probably not a good sign.
God, it is just Tuesday. But it's only 18 days till the Big Orange kickoff.
Oh, man.
5:25, so we're looking. We're probably right at the beginning of the third quarter in 18 days.
Well, more people signing up now for the bus trip. I think we're out of registration slips. We'll get some more out of the bag. Why are we still carrying around that bag, by the way?
We got
a new hard case, and I was like, oh, great. Now the stuff will be more protected. But what I didn't realize is we're still carrying the bag. So it's just like one more thing that we have to lug in.
Yeah.
I came here early to like supervise the setup this morning.
Right. How'd that go?
Fine. The door was locked when I got here. I had a little moment of anxiety there. Like, oh, my God. But, I mean, Talk Sports had their usual cluster trying to get on the air. But once they got on, it was fine.
Oh, they sounded fantastic once they got on. But they struggle outside the studio sometimes.
They were struggling.
Had a great show.
Joe Namath
would say. Those guys always rebound, though. Had a great show.
Yeah. I would expect nothing less. Let's go back to the McKinney team hotline. Zach is next. Good afternoon, Zach.
What is that, W?
Zach, long time no talk, buddy. How you been?
How are you and Bear doing?
Hey, doing very well. You know, that's another sign. We get closer to the season. We get certain callers who might have taken the summer off, you know, guys who are kind of getting some leadership reps or whatever. They start coming back for the real thing.
Russ, I needed a break. I still listen to you every day, but what reminded me, I was actually on the Hill today shooting a networking video for the upcoming sophomore and juniors. Saw the campus today under construction. It kind of reminded me of our football team. You know what I mean?
Boy, that's a great analogy. So much construction all over campus at University of Tennessee, and Jeremy Pruitt trying to redesign our roster and turn us into something approaching a competent SEC football program.
You know, Russ, I look back on it. I have to say John Curry is our worst AD ever, because you could have literally hired any football coach besides Greg Schiano. We would have been mad about it, but we would have gotten over it. And I remember when you and Bear went on that Shiatomo Sunday, I actually went back, you know, and tortured myself. I've listened to that probably 10 to 15 times. That's how sick I am.
What? You've listened to the whole thing over 10 times?
Yeah. Because, you know, when you were dropping the bombs, that was, oh, that's great now to look back and laugh, and the meltdown. And, you know, Russ, that was probably the best hours of radio I've ever heard in my life. And I remember where I was, too. You know, it's like, it's not as like September 11th, of course, but it's going to be one of those days I always remember. I was actually at Six Flags with my family, and I couldn't put the phone down. I had my earbuds in. I wasn't riding any rides, and I just sat there on the bench, like literally like I was about to melt down and cry. You remember those times, Russ?
Yeah, I know. I think it is one of those where were you type moments for everybody. And it's definitely I can't get over the fact that you've listened to that thing like 10 times, man. What are, you're some kind of sadist or something, Zach. But no, it would. You know, it's interesting. We did repost that if you didn't hear that or you want to listen to it again, because I did the same thing a couple of weeks ago. I went back and ended up listening to the entire 7 hours. It took me the better part of 2 days, you know, off and on listening. But it's one of those things that knowing what we know now, that we're on a better footing and everything, and Fulmer's back, and we don't have Shiano, and everybody seems pretty satisfied with Pruitt so far. It's, you know, it's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's good to look back and realize how close we were, how down we were that day, and how far we've come. It's therapeutic in a way.
Yeah, when you were saying that you want to burn this whole blanking thing down, it was awesome. I felt that way too. So, hey, if you guys get a live remote in Charlotte, let me know. I'll be there. We had a great time in Atlanta last year, Chance and you and the gang. So let us know if you have a live remote. I'm headed to Charlotte, too, to watch West Virginia. Y'all have a good show. See you soon.
Thank you, Zach. Good to hear from you, buddy. Yeah, if you want to take a trip down memory lane, go back. Go onto our SoundCloud page. We built a playlist specifically for the Shiano Sunday broadcast. 7 hours, commercial free, internet app only, because we were playing, it was Sunday, so we had NFL games that we had to play on the air. So the language is a little
coarse.
Well, yeah, not a little. I mean, it was. You know, I listen back to some of it, and I'm not proud of some of the way, not the things I said, but the way I said them. But
I know which ones of those you're talking about. There's some stuff you said that was just gold, though.
But, yeah, I mean, it was so raw, and we were so broken and just completely defeated, and to, like, relive that timeline where we come on in the first hour, and it's just, we are gutted, man. You can hear it in our voice. I mean, we're done. We're ready to just walk away from Tennessee football forever.
We were contemplating what we were going to do.
And then to go, and then I think it was in the third hour, Houston broke the news. He got the news from inside the athletics department that it was off.
Inside the athletic department.
So we broke that news. We had John down there leading the charge on campus. He's on with us. And then you go from the lowest of lows to, it wasn't jubilation, it was just relief.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, I can't believe we actually stopped this. And we didn't realize the magnitude of what had happened as it was happening. But looking back on it, to think that, my God, we stopped, and we, the Tennessee fan base, stopped.
Yeah.
It took our program.
In its tracks.
It's just a matter of hours, just, you know, stopped it.
And
said,
it was
no,
the cross-section of people that called us that day, from people, you know, the people that call us every day, you know, our regular callers to you know, former coaches at the university's kids calling in. We had what Jana called in from the West Coast.
Yeah, it was wild, man. Politicians. We had people, you know, DMing us from inside the department, you know, the building, saying, you know, just all hell breaking loose. And so it was
telling us to put incredible. On more steam. You remember that?
Yeah, it was incredible, man. That
I mean, would you have ever thought we were? I mean, we had the support from a pretty significant number of people inside the program.
Well, yeah, you had. I mean, it was kind of like a coup.
Yeah.
Almost like people just saying, you know, no, we've everybody working together for once after 10 years of fractious, just, you know, cliques and divisions in the fan base, everybody coming together and doing whatever we could to get it stopped. And I look back on it with, you know, like I said, I wish I hadn't dropped some of the language that I did at the time, but I mean, I was so mad and despondent at the time. I'm glad. I'm proud of it.
I'm not sorry.
The end. you wouldn't be. Stay with us. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll come back, play a little Check It or Wreck It. After this, it's The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The drive. Now back to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville. Check It or Wreck It, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive.
Yeah. All right, here's how we're going to play this afternoon. It'll go Bear, myself, and then Brandon will chime in back in the Fan Run studios. Are we clear on the order, boys?
Why does Brandon get to go last?
Because that way I'm not talking back to back, and it just gives him time and everything. Is it okay, Bear? Do you want to go last? Would that make you feel better if Brandon went first?
No, go ahead. We'll do it your way.
Tennessee will play both Jarrett Garantano and Keller Crist against West Virginia.
I'm going to check it.
I'm wrecking it. I think Garantano starts and plays the whole game. Brandon?
I will check it. I don't think one's going to come out and just absolutely dominate, so I think both of them will play.
A.J. Johnson will make the Broncos 53-man roster.
Oh.
Ding dong.
I hate that you qualified it with 53-man roster. I'm going to check it, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if he gets put on the practice squad for a year to get back into football shape.
I'm going to wreck it. I'm with you. I think they might stash him on the practice squad, let him get his feet under him if they think that he can eventually help them. But I would be shocked if he's able to come in 2 weeks before the season, 3 weeks before the season, whatever it is, and win a spot on the 53-man roster. Brandon?
Yeah, I'll wreck it as well. I just think it's too late in the process.
Lady Vols playing UConn is good for women's basketball.
I'll check it. I mean, it's the only rivalry that matters.
Checking it as well.
Yeah, I'll check it as well.
The United States of America should embrace open air urinals.
Wreck it. That's disgusting.
Can you give some background here? Officials in Paris are trying to tackle the problem of public urination by installing open-air urinals. This has outraged some residents of the French capital. It's exactly what you think. These are urinals just out on the street. They're housed in flower boxes, fully exposed on street corners, painted bright red, and have nearby signs advertising their presence. So you're talking about Paris, France, big metropolitan city, and dudes can just walk up. There's a urinal on the street corner. No sort of privacy. You just unzip your pants and use the urinal right there on the street corner. You're wrecking it, Bear. You say no go? Uh-huh. Just hold it?
Yeah.
I'm going to wreck it as well. I don't know if I could go. Like, I mean, I'm not terribly shy of bladder, but that's weird. That's a little weird. I would have to be like really, really have to go to be able to just whip it out and go pee right there and with like people just walking by and stuff.
There's no way you get performance anxiety.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think I could. Could you?
Yeah. I don't know.
Brandon?
No. Huge wreck. Huge wreck.
I mean, I understand it's a problem. You got people just urinating out in the streets, evidently. They've got flower boxes around them. They have straw layers that eliminates the odor. They're eco-friendly. They harness nutrients and waste to produce compost for parks and gardens. So it's an environmental thing. And according to a statement from French authorities, 1 year of a person's urine holds enough nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium to fertilize 400 square meters of wheat. How about that?
Still disgusting.
You've had people just wasting all that phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen down street drains, you know, and back alleys and stuff like that. They've found out a way to harness this and produce wheat, feed the people of the world.
Imagine how much has been wasted down the strip.
Well, I mean, just think, you know, you could be standing there urinating on the street corner as people walk by, you know, just discreetly using an open-air urinal, securing the knowledge that you're feeding starving children around the world. It's not changing your guys' mind at all.
Not a bit. Brandon?
I mean, sure, have them out there, but I'm going to avoid them at all costs.
I mean,
I'm leery of stuff like that, man. The porta toilets at Monterey scarred me for life.
Well, at least that's private. You go in and like close the door behind you, and
it's scary.
It's terrible in there. But
Woodstock 99s are pretty bad.
The public nature of it is what I find. And I was looking at the story. There's like dude just on a street corner, just
chopping trail.
Well, I mean, he's like, I think he's going through the fence. You know, he's not going over the gate. He's like, you can't see anything.
Okay.
Like,
you know,
careful.
All right. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. That is Check It or Wreck It, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of the drive. You check them out online at wreckintoacheck.com or call 865-546-1111. They'll come to you no matter where you are and turn your wreck into a check. All right, we got to get our last break. Phil, hang right there. You will have the floor when we continue.
Philly?
The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive. Real sports radio for real sports fans. This is The Drive.
Shout out to the boys up at Matlock Tire, just up the street from us here this afternoon, the official tire provider of Fan Run Radio. We are probably about a quarter mile from their Farragut location here on Kingston Pike. They've got locations in Lenoir City, Maryville, and Athens as well. Just got a new set of tires on the Smithmobile a couple of weeks ago. My dad just got a new set of tires on his car this past weekend. We love Matlock Tire. You will, too. Go check them out, MatlockTireService.com, to shop and compare. Matlock Tire going the extra mile for you. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Phil is next on the McKinney Team Hotline. Good afternoon, Phil.
49W.
Philly.
How you and Bob Brown doing?
Hey, man, we're getting along all right. How about you?
All right. I'm pulling for the Irish. I just hope that this game, if Maryville does win the game, I hope it's convincing, because if it's a close game and they lose by referees, you know me and Barry will be very ticked off.
Highly upset, Phil. Highly upset.
I mean, last year was highway robbery, if you know what I'm cooking.
I can smell it.
Guys, I got to rip Brandon for his comments yesterday about Tennessee's running back situation. He tried to say that Mud Lane was better than the Jordan kid. Mud Lane was worthless. And then he tried to say that Rashawn Neal was better than that cat at Michigan State. And, my count, Michigan State's been in the Rose Bowl and, I mean, and played in the playoffs. So I don't know what's Brandon cooking now. I mean, is he hanging around y'all too long?
Well, let him speak up for himself, Brandon. How do you respond?
I mean, those guys bounced around the league. I just think that Tim Jordan is a little bit of an unknown right now. And, I mean, Madre London, yeah, Madre London came from Michigan State. But, I mean, I think there's a reason that he left.
That's
that
fair.
He's not the starter.
That's fair, Phil.
Yeah, but Mud Lane was no good, and Rashawn Neal, I mean, he never did anything against quality competition.
Why do you got to call him Mud Lane, man?
Because it looked like he was running in 4 feet of mud.
He had a knee injury.
Before the knee injury.
No, he was mud before the knee injury.
He had an ACL before he ever played here.
Then why'd we sign him?
You'd have to ask Derek Dooley. Couldn't recruit running backs.
What's Laceville basketball recruiting, Debbie? You heard anything?
Yeah, I mean, Trey Mann's going to visit.
We're going to get his last one, aren't
North
we?
Carolina, and if this rule change where you can take an official visit each year holds true, then Tennessee thinks they could get another official visit, which is odd. I mean, I don't recall that ever happening in the past two official visits for a prospect, but I guess that would bode well for Tennessee if you can get him on campus one last time before he announces his decision.
I mean, I was getting here on the Florida weekend, wasn't it? And I hope they got a bunch of recruits coming in here for the Florida game. I mean, that don't make any sense. That's when you should have most of your basketball prospects in here.
Rick Barnes, he marches to the beat of his own drummer, Phil. He's going to do it his way.
Well, I'm tired of y'all getting on Bear. I mean, me and Bear have patched our ways up now, and we're in attack mode for the Irish. Go Catholic!
You guys had – you and Phil had a like some sort of tiff, some sort of lover's quarrel or something?
I pissed him off a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know I had that bad. You remember. But he got mad at me over
it. And y'all hugged it out or something?
Well, no, actually, I haven't seen him. But, I mean, we get mad and then we cool off after about a week. Phil's my boy, my buddy.
So you're speaking again now. That's hilarious.
Well, we never really stopped speaking to each other. We talk through a mutual friend a lot, trash each other to him.
Oh, you guys have like a mediator?
Oh, yeah, we have to. But we found out that the mediator apparently has been keeping things stirred up for going on like 16, 17 years now between us.
Huh. Huh. All right, then.
But the guy always, I mean, it's his house that we eat at, and he usually provides like strip steaks and all the trimmings, so. And we aren't going to screw that up.
Well, no. You got somebody who feeds you steak, you take care of that guy.
I mean, either that or, you know, he'll pop up and be like, I'm hungry. I'm going to go to Jets. And then he'll come back with, like, four pizzas and breadsticks and cinnamon sticks and the whole nine yards.
Is he going to this game with you? Was he there when you got thrown out last year, Phil?
Phil was there. Yeah, Phil saw it. Everybody, I was standing with a group of people, and it wasn't just a mixed crowd. Like, people were actually kind of surprised about it. They got way overreacted. I'm not going to lie and say I wasn't my usual smart Alex self, but.
That's a high-profile game. I'm 100% serious when I ask this.
Right.
Do you think there's any video of the incident that we could break down?
No. There was very few people there.
You like this song that's playing right now?
What is this?
Tears for Fears.
I wasn't a big TFF fan. Da, 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 da. And it really angers me that you will not engage me.
Yeah. And TLC.
Yeah.
And you're comparing them to who were we listening to?
In Vogue?
No. Somebody that played here today. And you were like, I can't believe you like them.
Oh, Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode? You're comparing them to TLC?
I'm pretty sure TLC sold more records.
Brandon, are you into Depeche Mode?
I have never heard of them.
You've never heard of Depeche Mode.
I guarantee he's heard of TLC. Yeah.
I know who TLC is.
That's so lame.
You got a string of hits.
That's so lame. Depeche Mode had a string of hits. They're one of the biggest bands of the 80s.
I think TLC's like the second best-selling girl group of all time, man. I don't know who sold more records than them. They didn't make any money off of them because they got ripped off, but heater after heater after heater the girls put out.
To each his own.
I mean,
I'll rock out to some Depeche Mode, though.
I mean, Left Up burnt down Andre Rison's. You know how much you have to love burn down their mansion?
All right. We are donezo. Oh, where's the thing? Draw a winner. Draw a winner.
All right.
Quick. We got less than a minute. Hurry. We're going to draw a winner for Gear Up and Get on the Bus. We're about to leave without drawing the winner. Can you believe that? All right, Bears. He's shuffling. He's shuffling. He's reaching in. He's drawing a winner. Who do we got? It's Doug Brooks. Doug fresh.
Makes a cut.
Doug got on the bus. Shout out to Doug. You're going, Doug. You're going to Charlotte for the Vols in West Virginia.
So
thanks to Jets Pizza.
Sure.
Thanks to Jets Pizza for having us out. It's been a blast. Overtime coming up next. Thank you, Brandon. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on The Drive.